The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the 10th chapter of John, beginning with the 14th verse. We read as follows in Jesus' name. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. In Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, dear fellow redeemed, in the early centuries of the church, the image of the Good Shepherd was the favorite presentation of the Savior. In fact, the picture of the Good Shepherd was the most common symbol in the early church, more common than the cross or the crucifix. It was painted on the walls of the catacombs. It was found in the great frescoes and mosaics of the time. It was engraved on Eucharistic chalices. The picture of the Good Shepherd was to the early church what the cross or the crucifix is to us today. This morning, we want to meditate on that picture of the Good Shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep, for each one of us. In John 10, Jesus tells us that he is the Good Shepherd. This is in a direct allusion to Psalm 23, the favorite psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a statement about his person. He is the shepherd of the Old Testament, the God from everlasting to everlasting. And then he explains in this text how we become sheep of his pasture. He says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In Bible times, pastures or grazing areas weren't fenced, so the sheep weren't allowed to graze alone. Rather, the shepherd tended his sheep, leading them to green pastures and gentle waters, as the 23rd Psalm says. Such a place of the still waters was an absolute necessity for the sheep in that dry and arid climate. But it was also a place of maximum danger. Here lurked the wild predatory animals waiting to snatch the sheep while they were drinking. Often the shepherd had to defend his flock, even laying down his life for his sheep, losing it in so doing. The dying wolf, in one last desperate attempt, lunged forward and ripped open the shepherd's neck with his long, sharp teeth. The shepherd was able to destroy the wolf, saving the sheep, but in so doing, he lost his own life. This is the picture that should be in our minds when we hear Jesus say, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Each one of us here this morning are by nature wandering sheep. We were lost in hatred, bitterness, covetousness, greed, and whatnot. Hatred towards a roommate or a professor. Bitterness towards an associate. Covetous of another's grades or good fortune. Greedy, always trying to amass more, and still we're never satisfied. Satan, that old wolf, had grabbed us by the neck and was dragging us to his den in hell, or we would be devoured eternally. So terrible is that bondage that even now, our old sinful flesh that's within us still craves to do those things that we know are going to hurt ourselves and those around us. Yet the good shepherd came to our defense, thanks be to God. He did battle with Satan throughout his life, culminating in the battle of the ages on the cross. There, he crushed the old wolf under his feet, freeing us from his grasp. He ransomed us with his own blood. Still, as the old wolf was being defeated, he was able to give the good shepherd the death bite. And so Jesus died, liberating us from sin, death, and the devil. But we're not left as sheep without a shepherd. On the bright and glorious Easter morning, he arose triumphant, our victorious Savior. He continues to guide and lead us, each one of us, all this journey through, providing all that we need for body and life, strengthening us through his means of grace. So now, this shepherd says, the one that laid down his life for me and you, says, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one fold and one shepherd. He desires to gather the sheep. Jesus desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The great privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus the Savior, he gives to his church and to each and every Christian. Every one of us have the privilege of announcing the most important message there is. The only thing that can give the person around us peace in this life and hope for the life to come, the knowledge of Jesus as the Savior. And yet, sometimes we in the Lutheran Church get the idea that only the pastor or only those in the public ministry, pastors and teachers, can do this important work. When an unbelieving family moves into our community, we assume that only the pastor can tell that person about Christ. Now, it's indeed true that the pastor should visit that person and share the gospel. He is the called shepherd and evangelist of the flock. But that doesn't end the responsibility of the rest of us to the souls, the needs of such people. We have many opportunities to touch those individuals in our workaday world and at our leisure, as we go to the gym, as we go to the mall, and so forth and so on, that the pastor may not have. Here at Bethany, this morning already probably, we've talked about a lot of things, haven't we? Probably talked about or to our significant other. We've talked about the political situation in the big speech last night. We've talked about what the college needs and what those boring professors could do better. And maybe all our family problems and, sad to say, all the problems of our neighbor. If we can talk about those things, then we can certainly talk about the most important thing, Jesus and his cross for our salvation. Let the person that you're talking to, that's you're sitting next to you, know how important Christ is in your life so that he realizes that it's the greatest treasure that you have. While such a witness to Christ is possible here and where we live, it's not possible for us in other parts of the country and throughout the world. We're not there. There, in these situations, we as the congregations of Synod send men to do this work in our behalf. That's the reason we have a seminary. And we support this work with our gifts and with our prayers. In this way, in all these ways, Jesus gathers the sheep so that there is one fold, one flock, and one shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep and who is feeding us on the green pastures of word and sacrament desires each of us to share the good news so that more and more may come to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, for you and for me. It's the most wonderful message there is. Amen. Let us arise. We pray. O good shepherd, dearest Jesus, we thank you that you laid down your life for sheep who wander in sin, and that you are sending young men as shepherds to feed the flock of your Father on the green pastures of word and sacrament. Send your Holy Spirit to each of us to strengthen us through the means of grace, so that we're always ready to tell others about you, our compassionate and wonderful Savior. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. We continue with the hymn.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord